listening to Fox Sports Radio. Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. We got an action-packed hour for you on Tuesday. We're going to be talking about Bill Belichick, and how your reaction to Belichick says a lot about you. Also, bottom of the hour, Carson Wentz. I think this story, Carson Wentz, says a lot about handicapping, where there's the math guys that say, oh, look at the numbers, but boy, these are human beings on the field. And I think the Wentz story speaks to that. We'll be breaking it down in studio. The pros who know, Steve Fezzik, NFL expert, Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you can't have pros without Joes. He is Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ, on Straight Out of Vegas. And we are going to start with the NFC Championship game. A lot of controversy for the non-pass interference / non-illegal contact penalty that was not called in the game. And now we've got multiple lawsuits by local attorneys. We've got fans putting up billboards. RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on the crybabies? I mean, reaction from New Orleans fans in the Big Easy.
You know, they talk about people who double down, like in the media and politics. They make a mistake. They do something perhaps most people disagree with. Do they apologize? Some do. Others, they double down. Jonas is doubling down because yesterday, some said it was a career ender. I didn't feel that at the time, in the moment. But he said, I'm not sure that was an obvious call. That the Saints, it was bang, bang. And Fezzik, I mean, I thought it was a little much, but you reached over and you played this sound effect, and I couldn't control it. Now, Fezzik's a little cuckoo himself, so you don't know. On Twitter, the reaction, it was rabid. It was like, how can Jonas still have a job? And I said, back up, back up. But I didn't want to jump in the middle of that crossfire. Jonas, I'm going to give you 18 seconds to either retract your point, maybe somehow convince the naysayers you're right. Take this 18 seconds any way that you need to.
To the attorneys who are filing lawsuits, they'd like the game after that penalty to be called and then played over again. Do something useful like the Saints and their fans. Go book a tee time somewhere. You're not going to Atlanta for the Super Bowl. Go play some golf. Season's over. Stop crying. Quit your bitching and moaning. That's it.
That is Jonas Knox. I'm RJ Bell. We do not approve that message, but it is interesting because you got to wonder, does the NFL like this?
Oh, they can't.
Except what did President Trump teach us is in the media in 2018, 2019, in the modern era, the best thing is to be talked about lovingly. The second best thing is to be talked about at all. Right? So we can debate politically how savvy that is, but I think that's a basic premise that got him elected president. And I think we see it with reality show stars, the people. I mean, look at the Kardashians. What percentage of the country would you say are like advocates of the Kardashians, that they would feel honored to have dinner with them? I'd say it's a small percentage of the country.
Yeah, 10%, 20%.
I'm not sure, yeah. Right? But it's less than 50.
Yes.
And I know that this is a family that has made over $1 billion off their brand. If you add up the whole family, and that's so far and counting, right? Remember the old debt clock in New York City? Every second you see that debt go up $1,000 or whatever. Well, the Kardashians' aggregate money is going up, up, up. So right now we're talking about the NFL. I mean, the thing that struck me more than anything else, I remember when Ohio State played Florida. The game was in Arizona, and I'm a Ohio State grad, and me and my best buddy drove down. He was in town, saw the game, was driving back, and I was listening to talk radio the next morning driving back, and everyone was talking about the wild card round of the playoffs. I think that's what was the game was on Monday, right, as it was then, the BCS, I guess it was. And then on Tuesday, it was the lead into the wild card weekend. So week, 17 had just happened. So literally the morning after the title game, 80% of the conversation was about the NFL. That's when I knew college football, I don't know, in trouble, but relative to the NFL, the distance was widening. The idea that there's 2 weeks between the Super Bowl, you think come Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we'd be talking much more NBA. Let's start digging into college basketball. But instead, we're talking about the Saints game. Now, I get it. They'd rather us be talking about it in some flowery, effusive, oh my God, the best league ever kind of way. But don't they prefer this and Jonas's histrionics more than to be ignored? What do you think, Fez?
I love the flowery reference because that's what's on the Saints helmet. That's actually a flower. So excellent, RJ.
You know something? We've never done this on the radio show, but we actually have, whenever Fezzik says something that's so nonsensical, we have to respond. Like, but there's not even words. So here we go. That's it for Fez. Bananas.
Well, to your guys' point, though, you know what the NFL doesn't like? They don't like anthem controversies. They'll more than gladly accept a fan base that's so passionate about their team losing that they're filing lawsuits to get the game played after about the minute and change mark and get everybody lined back up again to see who goes to the Super Bowl. This is nothing but good for the NFL.
You know, Jonas, I mean, I stuck with you, and that was a redemptive point because when you get into politics, and it probably is only politics at this point, people are so passionate these days. It's almost become a bigger rooting sport, rooting for your side, than any sports league, right? A hardcore Republican, a hardcore Democrat roots harder for his side that most NFL fans root for their team. So if you disagree with someone politically, it's not like Steelers Ravens. I can't imagine saying that guy can't come to my house because he's a Ravens fan. But there were hundreds of articles about I can't go to Thanksgiving because my dad likes Trump or vice versa. So yeah, if it gets political, you're going to get people that are going to vote with their pocketbooks, meaning I don't think many people are going to say, and the funny thing about the NFL, and listen, it's a multi-billion dollar conglomerate. It's hard to feel sorry for them. But both sides were mad at the NFL. The left felt like the NFL didn't do enough. Mm-hmm. The right felt like they did too much. They're stuck in the middle. Now, they've got their billion, so they're okay. But I think Jonas is exactly right that anything that's about fandom, it's probably better than apathy. So it's a great point. And by the way, we are putting a moratorium on this topic. We're going to finish maybe a minute or two, and we're going to put a moratorium. We are not talking Saints and that pass interference anymore. But I want to recap to finish it off because I listen to Colin again. I do most every day. And he said some stuff that I just so disagree with. We talked about it yesterday. So on one hand, Colin was saying, hey, if you get a call against you and you can win anyway, and if it's in your power to overcome that call, then quit crying. That was one of the a key gist of his response of saying it's no big deal. And yesterday we were talking about some hypotheticals. I kind of thought about it. Imagine if a team's down by one. They're kicking a 40-yard field goal. The field goal goes up and it's good. It's objectively good. It goes through the crossbars. But somehow, some way, the referee says no good. He's waving his arms. All right. Now, I'm not sure if that's reviewable or not. Do we know if it is?
It is.
It is. Let's assume before review, obviously it wasn't reviewable. There was no review. If the ref said no, 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 it was no, no, no. So that would be the most egregious case that a call went against you. It cost you the game. It was objectively wrong. Imagine the response being, well, hey, you're the one that left it up to kicking a field goal to win. So yeah, it was a bad call. But toughen up, buttercup. I'm not sure that would make a ton of sense. It was like, this was an even game. We had a chance to win it. We won it, and it was taken from us. So does anyone here think, oh my gosh, Jonas is coming back for more? Go ahead, Jonas.
Well, I think that the big issue here, if you were to sit a Saints fan down, and who the hell knows where they're at this point, a Bourbon Street throwing beads, 15 margaritas deep, and they're miserable with their existence. But if you're a Saints fan, I ask you this. Are you more pissed off about the non-calls or when it happened? Because if that exact same play had happened in the first quarter and you still lost the game, are you putting up billboards and filing lawsuits?
Okay, I think that is the second point, because Collins' second point is a variation of, okay, it was a missed call, but there were other missed calls. And why is one more important than the other? And to me, I think there's two factors that drive that. Number one, how often would the call that was missed be called correctly? So an extreme example would be the field goal going through the uprights. 99% plus of those are going to be called correctly. Boy, it's rare that it's not. Thus, it's particularly egregious because it's objectively the wrong call. And 99%+ of the time, it would be called right. I would make the case that that pass interference plus to the head, all the different possible penalties, gets called right a vast majority of the time.
94%.
I think probably more than that. Mm-hmm. What would you say, Brad?
That number that came to mind was like 95%.
If you would have said 94, I'd be like, come on.
No.
All right. So
94%.
All right. So 19 out of 20 time. It's very rare for announcers, especially because they're paid in a way by the league, right? In that this is all one big pot of money, and whoever's handing the money over, it's all coming from the NFL right now, which is coming from the fans. All right. Let's be honest. Is the announcers have no great motivation to like really be hard on the refs. So you don't hear much of like a, oh my God, no flag there. Now you do on the home telecast, but you don't on the national telecast. So the fact that if you listen to that playback, it really was like, wow, no flag. That was kind of the call. You don't hear that very often. Some say it's a bang bang play. We're not judging them, but I think it was so clearly the case. Whereas there's always going to be a holding call. There's going to be a, hey, he stepped out of bounds. All kind of little things that may objectively be just as big of a call, but they're not going to be called a vast, vast majority of the time. So it's kind of the breaks of the game. So I do think the fact that this was so obvious and so often it would be called made it particularly egregious anti-Saints. Whatever it is about Jonas's past that makes him not like the Saints, I mean, we're going to have to get into that like in May and June when things slow down. But to me, that was egregious. And number two, it was egregious because you could clearly connect the way that that one call would have led to the win, right? Neil, three plays for the Rams. It would have been an automatic, or for the Saints, automatic first. First down, second down, third. Kick the field goal, which is what? 90%+ from that distance. Kick off, and I think the Rams had like 25 seconds is the math of it. The Saints win what percentage of the time if that's called, Fez?
96%.
Wow, I would have went a little lower than that.
Maybe 90, maybe back to 94.
Maybe 94, yes. Okay. So to me, you know, Colin, in my opinion, incorrectly used the word recency bias, the phrase. Now, what recency bias means in sociology is because something happened more recently, it's more important in your mind. The assumption, though, is it's not fundamentally more important. So that bias is causing you to weight it more than you should. I don't think this is recency bias. Yes, the play happened last, pretty much, of the controversial plays, but it was a more important play because, Fez, they went from, at that point, the Saints being what to win the game when it wasn't called versus if it would have been called.
Went from 70% to 96%, depending on the call.
So Saints would have been about 70% even after the call.
Yes.
And it went to 95 or so. There's no other play in the game that's going to adjust by even 10%, right?
Yeah, you can give a team 10 extra points in the first quarter. It's not going to adjust that much for a team.
So I think the fact that it so influenced the outcome, and it was so obviously wrong, and it would so typically be called correctly, is what makes the Saints deserve a little empathy, regardless of what Jonas says. When we come back, we're going to break down Bill Belichick. Two things about him. One, he loves to take away what you love. And number two, your response to him, what it says about you.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. And this is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will tell you about one of the most dominant performances in recent sports history.
Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, 53 degrees, and the neon is flowing. By the way, recapping Jonas's heinousness towards the Saints fans might be the right word. I'm not judging. I do think it's fascinating. A lawsuit about a football game in a way seems absurd. Except how many millions of dollars was bet on that game? Now, if the Super Bowl, we estimate over $10 billion is going to be bet. Even if that's half right, let's say, oh, you're crazy. Well, okay, $5 billion. I think it's 10. That's a lot of money. There's a lot of How much money was lost in the Enron scandal, right? It was billions. Was it much more than 10? I don't think so. I have to go look it back up. But that was lawsuits and jail sentences and the whole thing. As sports betting becomes bigger and bigger, legalized, the idea that the participants, the refs, the leagues, the players are going to be held accountable no different than the principals in a public company. Think about that. If you are the CEO of Google, you've got fiduciary responsibilities that will send you to jail if you fail to meet them. The idea that this is just a game, and oh, by the way, there's hundreds of millions, I think at least a billion plus on that Saints game, huh? I think it's more than a game when you have billions on the line.
Guys, let's talk about a little bit of dominance. The AFC Championship saw the New England Patriots beat the Kansas City Chiefs 37-31 in overtime, marking the ninth Super Bowl appearance for Tom Brady and head coach Bill Belichick.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I'm a little worked up. I'm just so excited about the Super Bowl. I'm going to, instead of slowing down, I'm just going to open my Coke Zero. Hold on. All right, so we're going to really do it. Finish the show strong. Brad, you really led the way with this analysis. The idea that Belichick loves to take away what you love. And boy, that's not only interesting that, oh, he's a genius, but when it comes to prop betting and such, which is huge in the Super Bowl, and we're going to be talking about it pretty much nonstop next week. All the props, hundreds of them, and where there's money to be made. But boy, if we can predict what Belichick's going to do, what he's going to take away, could mean a lot of money. What did you see looking back at the Kansas City game?
Well, let's go back two games ago, the previous Kansas City matchup, what player really hurt New England? Tyreek Hill. 7 catches, 142 yards, 3 touchdowns. Another player that hurt the Patriots in that game. Travis Kelce had 6 receptions, 50-plus yards in that game. So in the first meeting between New England and Kansas City, KC had a lot of success going to those particular guys. So not so much the second time around. It was clear the game plan for Belichick was to take Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce out of the game plan.
And historically, Belichick has limited Kelce in an extreme way. We gave one of our picks. I gave it on Colin's show or on the podcast we do. And the pick was Kelce under yards, Kelce under catches. Both went under.
Easily.
So the question, Fez, is, and I don't know if we have the answer yet, with the Rams, do you take away Goff or you take away Gurley? Now, we've got another Rams-Patriots Super Bowl to reference when they had a back that was the center, was the queen on the chessboard, some of you guys might remember. And if you read the books that were written after the Rams-Patriots first Super Bowl when it was a 14-point underdog for the Pats, it was an obsession with Belichick. I wonder, it seems like Gurley is that type of back, but on the other hand, Gurley hasn't been Gurley. What are we thinking early?
If this game had been played after 12 weeks, I'd say he's going to take away Gurley because Gurley was averaging 19 carries and 98 yards. Since then, RJ, Gurley has been a shell of himself, and in the playoffs, yeah, he had 16 carries in the first playoff game and had a good game. Last game, 4 carries, 10 yards. That's not someone you have to take away. That's someone that's barely seeing the field.
So the question, when you say barely seeing the field, meaning a replacement level type player.
Yes.
Now, if it is physical, 2 weeks might help. So right now, if you had to have your gut feeling, understanding we're going to evolve our handicap as time passes, what's your gut feeling? What does Belichick stop? What does he put the focus on stopping? Because history tells us that when he decides to stop something, he's pretty successful.
My gut says he stops Goff.
Really?
Yes.
I don't agree with that.
I don't either.
Whether it's Anderson or Gurley, he takes them away and makes Goff. If he's going to go down, it's going to be Jared Goff stepping up and beating
especially
him.
With the brightest of the bright lights.
Yes.
Wow.
I would love to. We'll be pushing buttons.
He's taking away C.J. Anderson, a guy who's just off the couch
five weeks ago. Is Gurley out?
No, Gurley's playing.
So I'm confused. Why are you talking about C.J. Anderson?
Because he's been getting more carries in the playoffs.
Well, like we said, if we knew that was going to happen, so what do you think the props numbers are going to be on Gurley? You think it's going to be like over under 14 and a half yards rushing?
I think both Gurley and C.J. Anderson are both going to come in the mid-50s for expected yards.
Wow. So then that's one of those, if you have the answer to one question, if you believe Gurley's going to become, again, the feature back, then no matter how ineffective he is, if he gets his touches, he's going to go over that.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is what's so fascinating about handicapping props with Belichick. Usually it's defenses are going to just try their best. With Belichick, you got to handicap his mind, and then it tells you who you bet. Luckily, we've got a lot of time to do it.
I mean, he might focus to stop Greg Zuerlein. You never know with Belichick. I mean, he could go in a bunch of different directions.
Well, with Belichick, it might be like a Nancy Kerrigan type situation.
That is true. That is true. Here on Straight Out of Vegas, so we're going to transition. Now, RJ, you are going to make... you're going to tell people what something means about them, all right? So Bill Belichick has been dominant, successful, one of the great coaches in the history of sports. But RJ, he's got a lot of haters. If somebody hates Bill Belichick, what does that tell you about him?
You know, remember in Wall Street when it said Gecko, 10 seconds after the space shuttle blew up, he was on the line short in NASA? Like if somehow you saw Greg the Leg get attacked, like he's with some kind of bat or something, Fez would be like jumping on his phone, betting under field goals, like before the news even broke.
Longest field goal under 46 and a half now.
I mean, you know, most people would be ashamed of it, but Fez isn't.
I'm the dirtiest player in the game.
I mean, he just embraces it. You got to love him for that. Jonas, I think this is super telling. Most listeners, and I would say myself included, I feel like I've underachieved in my life. If I think about what my potential is, now I'm proud of a lot of things I've accomplished. I'm super excited, quite frankly, about the opportunity Straight Out of Vegas gives me, gives pregame.com, gives us to make a difference in sports betting, because quite frankly, there's not many shows like this with this kind of reach. In fact, we're the only show, Straight Out of Vegas, on any major radio network talking sports betting as the focus. Only one. So, and TV's cool, but if you look at a typical TV show on a non-network versus radio ratings for 200 stations, we probably have, I don't know, seven, eight times as many listeners. I mean, it seems surprising because TV is such a visceral medium and it is cool to see yourself on TV and all. It's ego-driven. But if you want to reach people, radio, other than network TV, when you have a national distribution, is the next biggest platform. If we do things right here, we can help the direction of the industry of betting. We do things wrong, we're going to hurt it. And the idea that we can do things right is very exciting to me. It's a opportunity I'm proud of and I'm going to make the most of. But I look back and say, oh, I could have done this. I could have done that. I could have worked harder here. I've had that same 10 pounds I want to get off, the tummy. You know, we all got our doubts, right? Now, but when you think about it, when people think, oh, if only things could go the right way for me, how do they think? Do they think no days off? No days off. It's about getting up at 5:30 a.m. and just grinding. And it's July 4th, and your kids are saying, Daddy, Daddy, let's throw the Frisbee. It's like, no, son, I'm working on plays, you know, if you're a coach or something. Now, you read the Steve Jobs book, you read the Belichick book, you know, there's a lot of question about, oh, are they great fathers? Probably not, right? At least in some ways not, some of them, most of them. But that's the way Belichick's success happens. No one thinks it's because he's such a high IQ. I think Belichick has a very high IQ, but a lot of NFL coaches do. It's not pure brain power. It's the grind. And most people's successes would be so driven by the same grind, right? If I woke up every morning and ran 3 miles, this belly would be gone before you know it, right? But it's the grind. Most people, though, when they think about success, they think about they're like almost a superhero. It's not, I got to try harder. It's almost, I don't even have to try, I'm so good. And if you think about young teens and younger fans especially, do they look at a Brady and think, oh, look at the way he's grinding. Look at all the film he's watching. Or are they thinking, oh, look at Mahomes. He can throw behind his back. He can throw left-handed. It's almost, and I'm not saying Mahomes is anything that we shouldn't appreciate. I'm just saying people relate to Mahomes almost in a way like they relate to Tony Montana. They watch Scarface.
Scarface on repeat, constant, y'all.
And it's like, oh, look, the world is mine. It's not about, oh, let's watch the kid study for his SATs and then watch the kid go to a good college. And then he's got to be an apprentice somewhere. And then finally, when he's 41, he makes his first million. That's not the way we dream. We dream about Tony Montana. There's a reason that movie's so big. And Belichick is the kid studying for his SATs. And I think a lot of people know deep down that if they only did the work, they could be so much more successful. And the fact they're not doing it is an indictment to themselves. And if you embrace someone who does it, in a way, you're indicting yourself. If you embrace someone with massive talent, you can say, well, I'm not that talented. So it kind of makes sense that I haven't achieved more. But and, you know, listen, you got Tony Robbins, you got all these different theories. But I think if you are honest with yourself and say, could I do more with what I've been given? Almost everyone's going to honestly answer yes. And I think Bill Belichick can Answer, no, I've done the best I can. And oh, by the way, just that, just the best you can through no days off has dominated the rest of the league. We could look at number of Super Bowl appearances this century. It's not 9 versus 7. Now, I mean, what is it, 2 or 3? I guess the Steelers have been in 3. Has anyone else been in more than 3 this century?
Seahawks have been in 3.
Who?
Seahawks have been in 3, but no one more in 3, I don't think.
Yeah. So the idea that on one, there's 32 teams, the best team has 9 appearances this century, and the second best team has 3. Talk about lapping. It's lapping them 3 times, and it's nothing more than no days off. And I think it's hard for people to properly appreciate that because of what it says about yourself.
Guys, so we have got coming up next, we are going to tell you about a story in the NFL involving a quarterback and what it may mean moving forward for the franchise. That's next here on Straight Outta Vegas. But for all the latest, it's Isaac Lowenkron.
Jonas Mariano Rivera, Edgar Martinez, Mike Mussina, and the late Roy Halladay have just been elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. The big story is that Rivera is the first of 132 players in Hall of Fame history dating back to 1936 to be unanimously elected into the Hall of Fame. He received votes from all 425 voters. Lindsay Adler of The Athletic just cleverly tweeted, Mariano Rivera's list of greatest accomplishments now includes getting 425 baseball writers to agree on something. Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens both received 59% of the vote. 75% is required to get in. NFL, the Chiefs today fired defensive coordinator Bob Sutton after 6 seasons. John Gruden announced today that Raiders quarterbacks coach Brian Callahan is leaving to become the offensive coordinator for the Bengals under incoming head coach Zach Taylor. NBA, the Carmelo Anthony trade is now official between the Rockets and the Bulls. Anthony, though, not expected to ever don a Chicago uniform. Back to you.
Thanks, Isaac. We are Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we are going to have Best Bets, your chance to make a little bit of coin on a Tuesday night. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
I tell you, Jonas, a Carson Wentz story, titillating.
Yeah, there was a story that came out on Monday, according to the PhillyVoice.com, that Carson Wentz, citing a half dozen sources, anonymous sources in the Eagles locker room, that he's difficult to play with. He doesn't want to run some of Nick Foles' plays. Just a difficult teammate. They called him selfish at times. So his teammates in Philadelphia, several of them, came out to his defense, calling the report bogus. There's been a lot of them all over social media. But RJ, what does Vegas think of the news that came out and the future of Carson Wentz in Philly?
You know, I think my thought is going to be different than most of Vegas. Vegas is driven by numbers. And I'm not talking about dollar signs, as in, hey, the bottom line is all that matters. I'm talking about analytics, algorithms, AI, artificial intelligence is where we are moving as a market-setting industry. And I can promise you, in the bigger liquidity markets like the NFL sides, I've been contacted just in the last 4 months by 2 different groups, each with top-level data scientists, like guys at NASA, guys at IBM level stuff, saying, hey, we want to do an NFL algorithm. Do you want to help? And to me, and just, you know, as an aside, I said no to both because I'm a big believer to bet at the size you need to be to fund such an endeavor. It's not about winning. I think AI, the right smart people could certainly come up with an AI program to predict the NFL in a way that was profitable. The question was, how much would they have to get off a game in order to fund the infrastructure, all the expense around that? And Billy Walters, the famous biggest bettor of all time in sports, his skill wasn't picking winners. He did fine. He hired the right people for that. Pregame.com alum David Malinsky worked with Billy Walters for over a decade. And Malinsky was sharp as a tack, no doubt. But it was the ability to get off $200,000, $300,000, $500,000 on a bet. It's not easy. Fez, sometimes if you want to bet a college basketball total, at certain places in town. What's your current limit?
On the overnights, as low as $100. Even the day of the game, most places right now, RJ, $300 to $500 maximum on the betting apps.
So on one hand, college totals, obviously more niche, not as big of a market. But even NFL sides, if you're a real winner, it's really hard to get down. And thus, you're going to have to deal with some unsavory characters to try to get down in the gray markets. And to me, luckily, I don't need to do that to make a living. So I don't like being with Pheasant. You're okay, but I don't like unsavory characters. I mean, you've got a degree from Northwestern. So even though your street cred's fine, I look at you more as an academic.
I got so many math geeks as friends. It's nice to have an unsavory or two to have some interaction.
So, to me, what does this have to do with Wentz? It's the idea that the pros here in town, it's always numbers, numbers, numbers. Look at the numbers. These are human beings. We never heard about Carson Wentz. We never heard about him being a problem 2 years ago. But lo and behold, his backup quarterback wins the Super Bowl. And all of a sudden now, he has a problem. I'm sure he was imperfect this year because he's a human being. Right? Could he have done better? Maybe. I don't even know. But what I know is if you start talking psychology to any of these serious Vegas guys that are the green eye shades, numbers, 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 they laugh at you. They act like you're a goof. And it goes into the Charles Barkley stuff, you know, analytics. It's not one or the other. I think numbers should be 80% of it. But this Wentz story, if you read it, think how differently you would have been betting the Eagles if you knew this. And none of it was numbers-based. It was all emotions. And if we act like that doesn't matter, I think we're fooling ourselves. And I think that's why the pure math guys usually are not the best bettors. Speaking of best bettors, we've got our very best bet on tonight's action, plus a story about Fox Sports Radio's very own Clay Travis.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. It's the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. We have got SEC hoops tipping off less than 10 minutes from now, RJ. It is Mississippi State and Kentucky at Kentucky. And right now, Kentucky is a 7.5-point favorite.
Brad Powers, all the college knowledge.
Lean Kentucky for me here, minus the 7.5. First off, Kentucky playing their best basketball of the season. I don't think it's random. Let's look at Kentucky's starting lineup. 3 true freshmen, a sophomore, and a graduate transfer. So it kind of makes sense to me. This is a team that struggled early in the season, crushed by Duke in the opener, only 1 cover in their first 7 games, now playing their best basketball, 15, 16 games in the season. But here's why it's a lean and not a like, RJ. It's not a good spot for Kentucky. They're off a big win on the road against Auburn and up deck. College game day coming to town. It's the Kansas Jayhawks.
Okay, so oftentimes we're talking college basketball, very young teams mature, trend line up during the season. Here it seems like it's that plus transfers and just integration issues with the players in general.
Yep.
But if you had to guess, Kentucky's performance from here out better than it's been up to that point.
Absolutely.
The second-ranked Duke Blue Devils are at Pitt coming up later on, and right now Duke is a 12-point favorite on pregame.com.
So this is a like and a bet on Pittsburgh, the underdog. Pittsburgh plus 12. Whenever you have a big favorite, to me, it all comes down to motivation. Do you want to get margin? In this case, I don't think Duke, I think, has questionable motivation.
Let me jump in a second.
All right.
So how many games has Duke played off that big? They were upset big, right?
Upset big against Syracuse. They played 1 game, and it was the game against Virginia.
And how'd
that go? Biggest game of the year so far. They won, but didn't cover.
They didn't cover. So do you feel like are these players walking in saying, we got to redeem ourselves? Or are they walking in saying, hey, we're Duke, more of the same is going to be fine?
I think it's more, we're Duke, more of the same. But
here's the question. If this was the game after the upset, you wouldn't like
No, I wouldn't
Duke.
Have liked it as
but
much.
But they beat a key rival, maybe it takes the energy. I tend to agree with you.
Yeah, and the second factor is, who is Pittsburgh coached by? Jeff Capel, former player at Duke. He was the assistant head coach at Duke the last 7 years. He was the main recruiter for a lot of these players. I don't think Coach K wants to embarrass a former player.
Yeah, but how many points? 12?
12.
You don't have to worry. I mean,
well,
it's pretty much
a really good
team. I mean, if there's 4 minutes left and you're up by 14, you still got to worry about winning the game.
Yes.
Right? So I agree. If the line's 22, I think you don't want to beat up the coach you like. Might make more sense. Yes. But you're betting
Pittsburgh plus 12.
That's Brad Powers.
Guys, we have some news to pass along, and that's courtesy of RJ, but it's about our friend Clay Travis.
Yeah, this is fascinating. So lock it in. The TV show, Cousin Sal's on there, and they were deliberating, I guess, about buying a Saints future ticket. So the Saints future ticket was out there, and you could have got it at a plus 192. Now, the best market, if you would have just said, give me the Saints to win the Super Bowl, was plus 175. So it kind of made sense. Hey, we can get plus 192 instead of plus 175. And they ended up betting $57,500. They bought it on PropSwap, which is a cool little thing here in Vegas, and they lost $57,500. The third guy apparently backed out at the last minute without telling anybody or whatever, but those two lost $57,500. Now, here's the thing. If they would have done a mechanical parlay, which is play the Saints money line, and then if they won, play the Saints money line in the Super Bowl, we estimated they could have got plus 225. So not only did they lose 57 dimes, but they probably could have got better odds.
The Odd Couple is next here on Fox Sports Radio. We are straight out of Vegas. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And